pictures you on the second coming of Christ as found in Matthew 24. It would be hard to select a text out of this chapter, as the entire chapter deals with this subject. To any careful reader, it is evident the prophecies of this chapter are almost all unfulfilled. Some verses may describe the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in A.D. 70, but the major portion of this chapter is future and not a distant future. Prophecy ought to be deeply interesting to all true Christians and alarming to the unsaved. It is a subject, God says, we do well to take heed. The first lesson in the chapter is a warning against being deceived. The very first words of the discourse are, "Take heed that no man deceive you." A more needful warning than this cannot be conceived. Satan knows well the value of prophecy and has ever labored. Let no man deceive us as to the leading facts of unfulfilled prophecy by telling us they are impossible, or that the manner in which these things will be brought to pass is improbable and contrary to past experience. Let no man deceive us as to the time when unfulfilled prophecies will be accomplished, either by fixing dates on the one hand or bidding us wait for the conversion of the world on the other. On all these points, may the plain teaching of Scripture be our only guide and not the traditional interpretations of man. Let us not be ashamed to say we expect a literal fulfillment of unfulfilled prophecy. We admit frankly that we do not understand every detail, but one thing is sure, and to that we hold fast. The main event will happen according to promise. His first coming was the most improbable event that could have been conceived, and yet it happened. What does Christmas and Easter mean if they do not declare the birth, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? As he came literally in person to suffer 1,900 years ago, so he will come literally in person to reign. We are not to expect a period of universal peace, happiness, and prosperity before the Lord comes. If we do, we shall be greatly deceived. Our Lord bids us look for wars, famines, pestilence, and persecutions. It is vain to expect peace until the Prince of Peace returns. Then and not till then shall weapons of war be turned into farm implements and nations learn war no more. There will not be a period of pure doctrine and practice in Christendom before Jesus Christ comes. The Bible says false prophets and false Christs shall arise, and perverse and subtle doctrines will be taught. Iniquity shall abound, and the love of professing Christians shall wax cold. We are not to expect that all the world will be converted before the Lord comes. The gospel is to be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations. And let us not think it shall be universally believed. The gospel will take out a people for his name, wherever it is faithfully preached. We strive to preach the gospel in all simplicity and clearness, as time is short, not long. The night cometh when no man can work. Troublous times are ahead. Heresies and persecutions may weaken and distract the people of God. A fierce war of principles may soon convulse the nations. The doors now open to do good may soon be shut forever. Our eyes, yours and mine, may yet see the sun of Christianity go down in clouds and storm. In some of these verses in Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus describes his coming to judge the world after he has caught away his own to be with himself. These verses teach us that when the Lord Jesus returns, he shall come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Before his presence, the very sun, moon, and stars shall be darkened, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The second coming of Christ shall be different from the first. He came the first time as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was born in the manger of Bethlehem in lowliness and humiliation. He took on him the form of a servant and was despised and rejected of men. He was betrayed into the hands of wicked men, condemned by an unjust judge, mocked, scourged, crowned with thorns, and at last crucified between two thieves. But the next time he comes to the earth, it will be as king of all the earth, with all royal majesty, with power and great glory. The haughty rulers and kings of this earth shall themselves stand before his throne to receive an eternal sentence. Before him every mouth shall be stopped, and every knee bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whatever ungodly men may do now, there will be no scoffing, no jesting at Christ, no infidelity at the last day. These verses also teach that when Christ returns to this world, he will first take care of his believing people. Not one hair of their head shall fall to the ground. There was an ark for Noah in the day of the flood. There was a city called Zoar for Lot when Sodom was destroyed. There shall be a hiding place for all who truly believe when the wrath of God at last bursts on this wicked world. Those mighty angels who rejoiced in heaven when each sinner repented shall gladly welcome the church when she is caught up to Christ to meet him in the air. The children of God of every age and every tongue shall be assembled out of every land. All shall be there from righteous Abel down to the last soul that is converted to God by that time, from the oldest patriarch down to the little infant that just breathed and died. What a happy gathering that will be when all the family of God are at last together. If it has been pleasant to meet a few of the people of God occasionally on earth, how much more pleasant to meet a multitude that no man can number. Surely those of us who are saved can carry the cross and put up with partings here for a few years. We travel on towards a day when we shall meet to part no more. Again, this chapter, Matthew 24, teaches that what the Lord predicted will surely come to pass. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. He is coming, sure as the word, swift as the lightning, sudden as the flood, and silent as a thief. The Lord Jesus knew the natural unbelief of the human heart. He knew that scoffers would arise in the last days, saying, where is the promise of his coming? He knew that when he did come, faith would be rare on the earth. He foresaw how many would contemptuously reject the solemn prediction he had just been delivering as impossible, unlikely, and absurd. He warns all against such skeptical thoughts. He tells us whatever man may say or think, his word shall be fulfilled in their season and shall not pass away unaccomplished. Oh, that men and women would lay these things to heart. We live in an unbelieving age. Few believe the report of our Lord's first coming before he came, and few believe the report of his second. These are not cunningly devised fables, but deep and momentous truths. May God help you to believe them and prepare for them by trusting the blood of Christ, which was shed as payment and punishment for your sins upon the cross. Oh, friend, we plead with you, we urge you, this moment, as one lost and guilty before God, unable to save yourself, your good works, your good life, your church membership, and your observance of the ordinances of the church will not save you when Jesus comes. Let me ask you in love to your soul, are you ready?